And we are now joined by Jim Polzin. He joins us on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America and now officially in Wisconsin. DG Yuengling and Sons, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. That worked out great. Jim sat down as I was doing my Yuengling read there. So, he's got the glasses, too. We're going to get smart, Jim, today. Jim, how are you doing today?
Jim Polzin, old guy, has progressives now, so.
This old guy does too. I don't wear them often, but I do put them on once in a while.
I'm getting used to them yet. So.
That's the thing. The Pablo, you learn this one day is that like I tried to use them for the show, but when I look up to the computer or to you, you'll be all blurry. So I've pocketed them because it doesn't work for the show. It's nice to be able to read my notes up close, but then when I look at anyone, they're all
so I just look like a blur right now.
No, I'm not wearing them. I have my contacts in, but. That's what I'm trying to figure out with my progressives. Mm-hmm. So Jim Polzin is now the fourth person in the last week that I've talked to around my age that is dealing with progressives. So now I feel less bad about it, Jim. So I appreciate that.
Thanks for giving me a glimpse into the future.
Yeah, there you go. Something to look forward to, Pablo. Jim, can you help us with this? With Wisconsin, let's just focus on basketball, first of all. I think fans, at least I'll speak for myself, like I have Blackwell going somewhere else, like good for him. He's going to make his money. I think that's how the program views it as well. But I think there's also frustration that Wisconsin seems to be a school that is now like the minor leagues are just developing great players to go play somewhere else. It happens in football too, that Wisconsin plucks from San Diego State or Missouri, FAU, those types up to Wisconsin. And then when, let's say, Illinois or Michigan or Duke wants someone really good, they can just pluck from the Badgers, which puts them kind of in the middle of major schools, which I think is frustrating. I don't know the way out of it for Wisconsin.
No, that's the thing. I don't know the way out of it for Wisconsin. I don't know the way out of this mess for NCAA in general, right? Like, it's like, guys, we could sit here and talk about this for an hour mm-hmm. every day for a month. We really could because yep. There's so many facets to it. It's a complicated thing, and there's no easy solution to it. And in terms of Wisconsin, you're right. Like Greg Gard's put in a position every year where he's only got a limited budget and he's got to make tough decisions. And could he have paid John Blackwell what he asked? Yes, the money's there, but it would have been surrounding John with a team of just the guys, right? And then you don't have a good team. You can't rely on one player. So now he's got to make some tough financial decisions and hope you keep finding diamonds in the rough that can keep you competitive year to year.
And off of that, the same side, positively, I think Greg Gard is like the perfect coach for Wisconsin because I think if he was someone that had less personal ties to Wisconsin, he could get lured by somewhere else that would offer him more flexibility with money, and I think people would want to lure him, but he's not going to go anywhere, and he knows how to win within the parameters. It's almost like the Brewers or the Moneyball aspect of it, Jim. But what I always say is that Moneyball, you talk about all you want, the Athletics didn't win a World Series. So Moneyball can get the Badgers to be fun and be the Brewers again, but it still leaves them short. But I do think that Greg Gard is honestly like the best coach possible for Wisconsin.
I agree. Like, I don't think he'll go anywhere. Smart, loves the place. Like, nobody loves this program more than a guy who's been here for 25 years. I think he surrounded himself with the right people. I think he's been willing to embrace this new era, even if he doesn't like it. I think that's important. Like, yep. He's changed his offense. He's changed his staff. I think every year they kind of take a critical look at themselves to see what they could do different. And, you know, it's, again, like I'll say this, it's not easy to be competitive year in, year out. They've done that. He's got to find a way to get over the hump. I think he'd be the first to admit that. I don't know how you do that. I think that's another complicated thing. But it's Brewers in this way is that you want to keep giving yourself bites at the apple, and Wisconsin basketball has been able to do that over and over.
Jim, I know, and I agree with you, we could have this conversation hours on end about the, you know, NIL and how it's consistently growing and where we're at, but what do you believe has been a common misconception that, you know, fans may or may not truly understand about, like, where Wisconsin's at in this NIL world right now?
I don't know about misconceptions. Mm-hmm. I think there are some. I think there's confusion is how probably – I don't think people understand how it works. And we've written countless stories at the State Journal about this. But, you know, there's – people hear revenue sharing. There's $20.5 million worth of revenue sharing. But nobody knows how Wisconsin's distributing that revenue sharing. And then within, like, if a basketball program is getting X amount, nobody knows how that amount is getting distributed among players, right? So I just think there's a lot of confusion among fans. I don't think fans, and I'll say this, I don't know the true numbers. I believe I have a pretty good idea what the true numbers are in terms of player salary, but I don't think Joe and Jane Fan understand just how much these guys are getting paid. You know, I don't think they've quite wrapped their arms and grasped that. So that's maybe one misconception, is that, you know, there's nobody knows how much anybody's getting paid. And I also think people think it's a year to year, everything's the same year to year. No, I think every year the number just keeps getting bigger, and Wisconsin's got to grow its number. But even if Wisconsin grows its number, so is Illinois, so is Michigan, so is Indiana. And I think Wisconsin's still kind of in chase mode, and that's, I don't see that getting fixed. I just don't see that changing.
And so I think part of the issue here is the term NIL, because this is not name and likeness. I mean, it's just not. I mean, there's very few. I mean, we work with Iron Jock and Isaac Miller, and he is endorsing a brand, and Braylon Allen did that before. That's name and likeness. Getting paid by the university through a subsidiary like NIL is just getting paid to play football. And I think that right there, Jim, is part of the trickiness for it. But you touched on something else with Wisconsin. My concern is more on the, I mean, obviously football coaching hasn't been exactly what we want, but when I think I look at basketball, to me it seems more on the operation side of it, of like, how are they raising these funds? Because I can talk to plenty of business owners, and they're not thrilled with the bang for their buck, the what's in it for them. And it's like, okay, I give you this money, and then what happens? This is just another donation? Like, I thought it was a name and likeness. What do I get for it? And I think that's a big concern. So on the actual fundraising side of it, forget even how they spend it, I don't think they are innovative or cream of the crop into that. And a school like Wisconsin, because there's only maybe less money available than Michigan, they really need to be finding all the loopholes to be able to get as much money as possible. And I just don't see that happening right now.
Yeah, that's fair criticism. I think one thing that's happened is Wisconsin's kind of been in chase mode the entire way. You know, July 1st, 2021, NIL goes into effect. Collective started forming shortly thereafter. Wisconsin's collective really didn't get going for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then even then there was hiccups. And then I think for the longest time, Wisconsin's athletic department thought that, oh, the rules are going to, things are going to get less crazy, and the rules are going to, there's going to be hard rules you have to follow. People are going to stop cheating. If you do cheat, you're going to get punished. Well, that never happened. And so Wisconsin kind of took the high road in a lot of ways, and it's just been it's perpetual catch-up mode. And, you know, meanwhile, other schools are kind of just getting further and further away from them. So I think that's a fair criticism. I think they want to do the right thing. I think that's fair. But I don't know that their competitors are wanting to do the right thing or practicing that, you know, what they preach. So I don't know how it gets fixed. I really don't. Like it's sort of, it's depressing if you think about it, because I don't see a solution. I was just talking to somebody, and like, ultimately you got to get to a place where there's student athletes are considered employees and there's a collective bargaining arm to this.
Yep.
But getting to that point is very, very tricky, because football is very different than men's basketball, is very different than wrestling, than volleyball. You have non-revenue sports. Like, there are 600 student athletes on the Wisconsin campus, 600 plus. How do you treat Colton Joseph the same as the women's cross country runner? How are those two on equal terms in terms of a union and a collective bargaining arm? I don't know. I don't know how you get there. And that's the tricky part. I think everybody's kind of see that that's where this is heading. I don't know how you organize that in a way that it works for everybody. And then, like I just mentioned, within Wisconsin, well, Wisconsin's different than UWGB. Mm-hmm. How do you get all these schools to agree? There's 300 some Division I basketball schools. How do you get them to agree on rules and regulations? I think there's probably going to be a break off of the power conferences at some point, but even that's got complications to it. So I know I use that word a lot, but it's very complicated. I think if it was easy, somebody would have figured it out by now. There's so many people with their hand in the pie right now that I don't know how you get everybody to agree on what works and what doesn't.
And I used to do a show with Pat Richter, and former Wisconsin athletic director, and he, this was before NIL came into place, he kind of kept on foretelling a story where college basketball would be its own separate entity, that it really just wouldn't be an NCAA sport anymore. And I'm wondering if, like, that is what, and you talked about with the power conferences, I feel like that's could be what's happening, where you're licensing the name of Wisconsin for a school that, but these athletes are not technically student athletes unless they want to be. And same thing with basketball. He picked basketball because he thought it was dirtier than football and easier to pull off. But I think that some sort of world where these are not going to be part of the institution is not impossible to think about.
Yeah, I think it's certainly possible. Again, I don't know quite how you get there. And our football and men's basketball on the same, you know, it's just all of it's very, very confusing. And like you brought up something there too, like unless you want to be a student athlete, right? What do you do to the kid that actually wants to come play basketball and also wants to get an education? Like you treat him differently than the kid that just wants to come here and make a big paycheck? It's weird. And I think like one thing I was thinking of too, like sort of mentioned this with corporations and donors. And this is not, please don't take this as a judgment of if those people are listening, I'm not telling them how to spend their money. I would never do that. I think a large chunk of Wisconsin athletic donors want to put their money towards the things they value, scholarships, you know, their names on buildings, things that last a long time, not the point guard that's going to get a $1.5 million paycheck, right? Like that's, I think that's the old time, the long time donor who's worked really, really hard for his money or her money doesn't want to do that. And I understand it.
Yeah.
Like, again, I'm not telling people how they should spend their money, but I think there's a different culture here of people that give money than there are at some other places. And that's fine. It's part of what makes Wisconsin special. But I think it does make it more challenging if you're the coach or the athletic director trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Jim, I know you touched on it a little bit, and I agree, is that it does feel like that Wisconsin is, I think you said chase mode, essentially. I think that's a perfect way of putting this. Again, football, I think, is still trying to find its footing, trying to find that true stability, even after an aggressive portal season. But let's go with basketball, for instance. Like, what do you feel like has worked in their favor, even in this changing landscape, that basketball has still done well to at least be successful and part of a conversation for bigger things to keep competing?
Yeah, good question, Pablo. I mean, I think Greg Gard has surrounded himself with the right people and kept a vision of how things were here, a culture that you want to keep some of those pillars while also embracing what you have to in this new era of college basketball. So he surrounded himself with good people. Like Mark Van de Wettering, their general manager, is like one of the brightest people I've ever met. And I think he's, you know, I would not trade that guy for the world. And I think Greg Gard would agree with that, right? So having a guy like that in place, phenomenal. I think his coaching staff, he's found the right mix of evaluators and guys that can look in different places, overseas, and through the transfer portal. He's kind of – everybody's got their own specialty on that staff, and that's good. And I guess the bottom line is I think they've done a tremendous job evaluating. Like I think this is a staff that knows how to evaluate – which is maybe where I would say the criticism on the football side should fall a little bit. I don't know if Luke Fickell's staff has done a good enough job evaluating. Certainly the basketball side has done better, and that's allowed them to stay in it. So you go out and find a guy like AJ Storr that is ready to make a jump. You go out and find a guy that Nick Boyd that'll be kind of the perfect match. You find a Tanjay at a really, really good price. And that's what they're going to have to do now, guys. They're going to have to the money they could have spent on John Blackwell, okay, you didn't get him, right? It'd be foolish to spend that much money. So what do? You go out and spend that same amount of money on two or three guys, and you hope one of those guys is ready to make a big jump and become the next great wing at Wisconsin. And I don't know. Like I have no reason to doubt that Greg Gard's going to do that at this point. Like he's done it X amount of years in a row, right? So you got to keep doing it again. And I think that's an awful way to live if you're a coach. Like part of me feels bad for him. He's making a lot of money, so I don't feel too bad for him. But, you know, you end a season on March, whatever, and then you jump right into building another roster. And that's not the way it used to be. And it sucks, I think, for those guys, but it's just the way of the world.
Jim, you mentioned that this is just the way of the world now and that Wisconsin's really in catch-up mode as a department right now. But as Badgers fans, is there anything positive we can look at that the department
Riley,
has done?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find reasons for optimism moving forward as someone who wants this to see these programs succeed. Is there anything that Wisconsin has done that fans can look at and be like, they did this well, this is something we can look forward to and look at with optimism?
Yeah, I mean, that you asking that question makes me think that I've been really negative this whole time. I didn't think I was.
I think it's been fair.
I'm just trying to be real. Like, yeah, I think that's part of his reality. So, yeah, I mean, like, listen, we just named a bunch of things that Greg Gard and his staff do well. So focus on that. I think the recent bump in in-state recruiting for Luke Fickell is something that can give a fan hope. I think that's some positive progress with that program. And now none of it really matters until you deliver on the field in September. That program's got to take that program has to take a step forward in the fall, right? We have to see that. But this recent recruiting surge is something to build on. I hope fans will continue to put their attention towards the non-revenues or some of the low revenues, right? Men's hockey's in the Frozen Four.
Yep.
Let's give that program some attention. Mike Hastings has done an amazing job. He's a really good guy, the right guy for that program. Mark Johnson's coming off another national championship in women's hockey. Kelly Sheffield has the volleyball program rolling. Paul Wilkins has done a great job in women's soccer. And there are, for everything we've talked about, money, there are a ton of athletes on this campus who are actual student athletes and wear the W with pride and show loyalty, each and every year. So I think as a writer, and I guess maybe I'm talking to myself more than what you or what fans should focus on, I'm going to continue to focus on that stuff. I'm going to try to find really, really good stories to tell to balance some of this business that I have to write about, because that draws interest too. But yes, I think this university as a whole is still something to be proud of. It is at a critical time, I think, in terms of what's going to happen next. But that doesn't mean that there's all bad stories to tell. I think there's a lot of positive things on this campus. And, you know, you just got to it comes down to an individual and how you choose to look at things.
And I think a lot of it is the expectation side of it. And I said it before, at this point, you know, Wisconsin and football, basketball school, I've said before, it's a women's athletic school because they've been excelling in one of the best in the country with that. Even the women's basketball team had one of the better years for them, and yeah. I feel like they're on the rise. So, like, there is plenty to be excited about. And for me, for basketball, I've just changed my expectations of – look, like, I went to Florida Atlantic University. That Final Four year was insane. But now it's more of like, look, if the Badgers made Sweet 16, like, that's to me like an A-plus season, because that means Gard maximized everything he has out there. And I've just put championships on the back burner for basketball, not because anything the players or the coaches are doing wrong. It's just a matter of I don't want to be disappointed. I want to be excited. So if they made Sweet 16, I'm going to give that year an A-plus, because in this day and age, that's a heck of a run for Greg Gard. And for football this year, I like the in-state kids. I think there was maybe it's harder to build a football program, and I think Luke Fickell also playing catch-up from maybe some bad hires early. I like Grimes. I like the staff. And for football this year, if they get six or seven wins, and hang around the other ones, that is massive progress over a team that felt lucky to get 5 wins last year and was very disappointing 5 wins the year before that. So for me, it's a lot about changing expectations, and if it looks like football is moving in the right direction, that is enough for me. I guess that's how I look at it, Jim. I'm not sure how you look at other ones, but I do agree with the idea that there are really elite athletic programs here at Wisconsin.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I'm interested in if fans, you know, because I don't come at it from a fan perspective. Yeah. I think that's it's hard for me to view it. But do fans agree with you, Jim? Are fans ready to change their expectations? And I guess I'm specifically talking about men's basketball.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. And for everything I just said, you know, Greg Gard has done a tremendous job. I think he's gotten a lot of bang for his buck. Does he need to get over the hump at some point and get to a Sweet 16 for people to view him differently? Maybe, probably, yes. It depends, I think, again, on the individual.
Yep.
But, you know, I think you want to have hope. No matter what program we're talking about, I think you want to have hope. Football is a little bit tougher to find that hope. But like you said, the schedule's a little bit lighter. There's been a recent uptick in in-state recruiting. You got a quarterback that you at least go into the fall intrigued about. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm looking forward to the game starting. I really am. I don't go in with a sense of dread. I think there's I'm a storyline guy, and I think there's a lot of good stories to tell. So
you and Jason Wilde. Yeah, there are plenty of great stories to tell there. I don't think teach that at Wisconsin State Journal, but yeah, the storyline.
I learned it from Wilde.
Yeah.
I stole that right from his mouth.
All right, Jim, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for hopping on with us.
Yeah, sorry I was late, guys. Have a good rest of the week.
All right, enjoy the rest of your week, too. That was Jim Polzin on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America and now officially in Wisconsin. For Pablo and Riley, I'm Jim Rutledge. This has been The Jump Around on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels.